ESPN, the Cardinals hosting the Nationals Saturday and Sunday starting at 6 on KGYM.
Good Friday afternoon, 4 minutes past the hour, 3 o'clock. Gym class coming your way right here on KGYM. Coming up for this Friday, we're going to talk IndyCar racing with Joseph Newgarden from Team Penske. He will be in Newton at the Iowa Speedway coming up for the Iowa Corn 300. We'll have it for you on July the 9th right here on KGYM. Also, our Friday topic, we're going to kick this around. The world of high school girls and boys basketball. Should there be a shot clock? Long debated. It kind of fueled up last week at about this time, and we're going to talk about it today. Get your thoughts on it out there at 319-366-1600. We will do that on the program today as well. Also, for you golf fans out there, we have one more package to the John Deere Classic, which includes 4 any-day tickets and a parking pass to see the great stars of the PGA in action over at Silvis, Illinois. All that coming up, Friday edition of the Gym Class, coming your way here on KGYM. Greetings and welcome, everyone. Scott Unash alongside Mark Dukes, Friday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. 1600 AM, the historic main gym. 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids and surrounding areas. 106.3 FM in Iowa City and surrounding areas as well. Friday, sunshine out there. Very nice day. Should be a very good weekend as well. Get out and enjoy it. A lot of people maybe making it a jumbo weekend, if you will, Mr. Dukes. So we've got the 4th of July holiday right around the corner. It's a Tuesday. Not the greatest placement for the 4th of July, but it's got to happen once every 7 years, I would imagine. So if you're getting the weekend off, you took Monday off, enjoy your four-day sojourn, if you will.
Might have taken today off, make it a five-day weekend, and why not?
A five-dayer. Good chance to get outside, get some things done today. But we got a good show. We're going to talk IndyCar racing with Joseph Newgarden from Team Penske, and we'll do that coming up. And then our topic of the day, we're going to talk about shot clocks in high school basketball. It's been a long debate and very passionate. People for, people against. We want to get your thoughts on it out there. And we will do it coming up in a little bit. And the precipice for that is that the state of Wisconsin is going to be the first state in the union to institute a high school shot clock. So that'll be coming up. We'll talk about that in a little bit. You looked at me funny, Mark.
I think there's 8 other states that have
Is there 8? I'm sorry. Yes. I'm sorry. Well, in our neck of the woods.
In our neck of the woods, yes.
In our neck of the woods. I beg your pardon. No cards and letters or texts, please. But anyway, Wisconsin's going to have a shot clock, our neighbors, to the north and to the east. Should the state of Iowa have a shot clock out there for high school basketball? We will kick that around a little bit at 7 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock here on the Friday edition of the program. Don't forget that Todd and Alex are down in Iowa City at the Coach's Corner getting ready for the Todd Bromwell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn. That will come your way from 4 o'clock until 7 o'clock tonight. And then it will be Twins baseball on 107.5 FM. Twins in Kansas City. They took the red eye from Boston to Kansas City overnight, and they will take on the Royals. All except Irvin Santana. He flew ahead because he's on the mound tonight.
Yeah, really good pitching matchup. Santana and Vargas. Vargas, 11-game winner for the Kansas City Royals. Santana has won 10, although he hasn't been super sharp as he was earlier in the year. Really big series, I think, for these two teams trying to keep pace at least at a minimum with Cleveland. Cleveland now with a 1.5-game lead over the Twins, and Kansas City nipping at the Twins' heels. This is a 4-game series, one tonight, 2 tomorrow, 1 Sunday, and depending on the outcome of the series, a lot of things could change in the AL Central.
Doubleheader coming up tomorrow. We'll have the games for you at 12:30 and 7 o'clock. It's a day-night doubleheader. The new-fangled doubleheader, if you will. Washington Nationals just made it official. They have put Trey Turner on the disabled list, and talk about the 1-2 punch yesterday, giving up a bunch of runs in the ninth inning again. Cascades of boos coming down at Nats Park yesterday as the latest bullpen disaster for Dusty Baker and the Washington Nationals. And then to add insult to injury, Trey Turner gets nailed by a Pedro Strop pitch, and he's going to be out for a significant amount of time. And a very exciting player as far as the Nationals and really baseball is concerned, because he kind of brought the stolen base back to baseball, which it's been lacking.
Leads the National League in stolen bases, and he was part of that big story earlier in the week when the Nationals stole 7 bases against the Cubs. He had 4 of them, and it resulted in Miguel Montero being designated for assignment by the Cubs. And, yeah, Trey Turner is a very exciting player. Hit by pitch is part of the game. You don't like to see it, but the Nationals definitely have an Achilles heel on the back end of that bullpen, and I think that may stand in the way of the Nationals going all the way.
David Robertson! David Robertson! Oh, sorry. Maybe Sox going to make another trade with the Washington Nationals. I feel it in my bones. Robertson's headed to the nation's capital sometime.
Be a good acquisition for someone.
Not sure who else White Sox can get from the Nationals, but I think it's going to happen because certainly Chicago doesn't need him on the south side. 319-366-1600. That's Jerry Ask Investment Services text line if you'd like to weigh in. Again, that is 319-366-1600. And love to hear from you, especially when we get into the topic, when we dive into that coming up here in just a little bit. As we get into the 4th of July weekend, you're wondering why we have to have the big All-Star Game announcement Sunday night.
Yeah, voting ended last night. And now we need to wait a couple, 3 days before a big production. We have to make everything into a production. The All-Star teams, the starters, will be announced Sunday night.
Correct.
As part of a special program. I don't remember I don't think this is new, is it? Or is it?
No, I think they've done it the last couple years. I haven't paid much attention to it. You know what? Here's what I remember about the All-Star Game. I remember that it was the first pretty big game. NBC would start getting the Saturday afternoon games with Joe Garagiola and Tony Kubek rolling after the All-Star Game. Monday Night Baseball on ABC would come around, and you'd actually get to see the games. Of course, you'd get to see the Yankees and the Red Sox and the Dodgers and those teams. But it kind of kicked it around. I also remember the little paper ballot.
I have many of them dating back to 1970.
Really?
Yeah, I think they don't have paper ballots anymore, do they? Or do they? At the ballpark? I don't know.
It's been so long since
I have most of them.
Punched one out.
In a collection, yeah.
And, you know, that was the way you came up with the All-Star
team. It's fun to go back and look at those, too, to see on the ballots.
It really is. And, bring those in someday.
I will do that.
I'd like to see those.
Yeah.
Just to we won't punch them out or anything like that. No hanging chads or anything like that as far as the Major League Baseball ballots were concerned. But didn't it seem to be a lot easier back then than it is now? Of course, everything's got to be it's not baseball, it's every sport. It's got to be a big production.
Computers weren't around, so it was the fun of getting that ballot in your hand and contemplating who you wanted to vote for, whether it's somebody on your favorite team or somebody that was deserving. Sometimes it was the same player. But it was fun to see all those names. It was often a challenge to get everybody on the ballot because it seems like each and every year, you've got guys breaking out, rookies, Aaron Judge, Bellinger in Los Angeles, who, of course, are not on the ballot. But, they're going to be on the All-Star team.
Should the fans still have the say in who starts?
Sure. Sure.
Even when it was a game that meant something.
I don't know that you should be able to vote 35 times.
Or go online and vote that many times?
What if the presidential election, you could vote 35 times?
I don't even know. We're not going there, Mark.
Just one vote. Come on.
One vote. Ballot. What do they call it in March when we get the bracket of integrity? The ballot of integrity. How's that?
Yes.
I would tend to agree with that, but it's going to be very hard to, you know, to try to get that through. And it's going to be very hard to make sure nobody votes twice as far as that is concerned. I don't know. Your thoughts, 319-366-1600 on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line before we talk to Joseph Newgarden coming up here in just a little bit.
35 times? Oh, come on.
It's not a real big coincidence that teams tend to move up as far as the All-Star balloting when they have a long homestand. Am I right on that?
Well, it's like voting for some of these contests, top burger in town and top, you know, live music venue. You get your employees to just pound the voting
true
process, and is it really a true reflection of who has the top burger or who has the best live music venue? So much in the same way, Major League Baseball, just give everybody one vote.
I would agree. I would agree, but I don't know how you're going to enforce that.
We, as usual, have an Emil's Hideaway poll question today at kgymradio.com. That's where you can find
best burgers.
Yeah, exactly. You name your menu item at Emil's, and it's damn good. Should college coaches be able to block players from transferring? Yes or no? Thanks to our friends at Emil's Hideaway. Great food, great drinks out there on First Avenue, Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's.
There are two times a year for sports publications that people talk about. One, of course, is these, and they're kind of in different ways. One is the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue, of course, which comes out in, what, late February, right around there. The other one is the one that comes out now. ESPN, the magazine, their annual body issue. I'm sorry, I don't need to see Brett Burns and Joe Thornton of the San Jose Sharks in this light, nor do I need to see Javi Baez in this light, nor anybody in this light. I'm anti-body issue, Mark. I guess it's done.
Well, I think it's meant to be artistic and celebrating the human body.
There is nothing artistic about two hockey players like this.
Well, depends on who you ask, I suppose. I would agree, but it depends on who you ask.
I am there. Nothing. Nothing's going to change my mind on this.
You know, I want to see a pregnant nude photo of Serena Williams.
Is that one of the pictures as well?
I don't know.
Caroline Wozniacki is kind of the headliner this year on the female side of things. I'm speechless, man.
On the text line, Jerry Ask Investment Services text line.
They don't want to see him either.
319-366-1600. If you'd like to know more, go to jkainvest.com. Our friend Cajun Troy, it's better than the swimsuit issues. I love it.
To each their own.
5232, love seeing naked athletes. Interesting how uncomfortable the male figure makes the two of you. Yes, you're right, 5232.
Oh, man, we missed on the poll question today. So, boy.
Would you rather see the body issue or the swimsuit issue? It depends on who you ask.
There's no right or wrong answer.
Cajun Troy likes the body issue.
There's no right or wrong answer to this. I don't think they have any. I think there are some track and field athletes in the body issue.
Is the swimsuit issue exploit women? Is that why? Or is it too revealing?
Oh,
or what?
Mark. First you hit on politics, and now you're hitting on
That's why I'm here.
Is the swimsuit issue exploiting women? We don't have time for this on a Friday.
You brought it
before
up.
Before the 4th of July weekend.
When do we got to look forward to the hot dog eating contest?
318. Mm. All right. We got it for you later on before 4 o'clock. If we're still on.
There's a couple texts I can't read. I'll share them with you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
A little editing along the way.
Chance to win tickets to see the 47th annual John Deere Classic at the TPC Deer Run in Silvis, Illinois. Four any day tickets and a parking pass to see your favorite golf stars in action. That will be coming your way before 4 o'clock. All right, we'll take a break, come back. We're going to talk to Joseph Newgarden coming up next. I had a chance to talk with him a little bit earlier on. And then we're going to get into our topic, not Sports Illustrated swimsuits.
No, we could change gears.
No. That's next week, maybe. No, shot clocks in the world of high school basketball. Should we see a shot clock in boys and girls basketball? That'll be coming up in just a little bit. Well, we'll talk to Joseph Newgarden coming up next here on KGYM.
Your building might look good, but how about your parking lot? Faded lines, potholes, and cracks can ruin a good first impression. Fixing your lot can be more affordable than you think. Pate Asphalt will be happy to come take a look and give you a free estimate. They do everything, repair, striping, sealing, and they've been doing top-notch work around here for over 30 years. So let your parking lot impress your customers before they even step inside. Pave it to last with Pate Asphalt. Contact them at pateasphalt.com.
Texting while driving is a very dangerous form of distracted driving. Drivers who use handheld devices while driving are 4 times as likely to get into crashes that can injure themselves or others. Drivers of all ages simply don't realize the dangers that are posed when they take their eyes and minds off the road. Everyone needs to do their part. Help save lives. Don't text and drive. This message is brought to you by the Iowa Department of Public Safety, the Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau, and your local law enforcement.
Mike and Mike on the Gym is presented by Hertzian and Stalker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets, downtown Iowa City. Stop in and say hi to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
They go to the ballpark to watch the game. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes, the Gym Class, KGYM.
Back with you on the Gym Class, 1600 AM, 107.5, 106.3 FM, KGYM here in Cedar Rapids. Coming up next weekend, it'll be the Iowa Corn 300 at the Iowa Speedway. That'll be coming up on Sunday, the 9th of July. We'll have it for you right here on KGYM. And the defending race champion joining us here for Team Penske, and that is Joseph Newgarden, the driver of the Team Penske Chevrolet number 2. And Joseph, thank you for joining us today here in Eastern Iowa. Appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
Well, you got great memories of the Iowa Speedway, obviously, from that dominating performance that you had last year, and probably can't wait to get back, can you?
No, I can't. I mean, I love Iowa. I've been there, I think, 6 years now, including my Indy Lights days, which is kind of the feeder series, the IndyCar, if you will. So I love it. It's a great track we go and race at. We always get a lot of great support. It seems like everyone loves IndyCar there, so... I look forward to it, man. It's an exciting race to me. I love running it and, can't wait to get there, kind of like you said.
What is it about the Iowa Speedway? Just the configuration? Just kind of comes to you? Is there anything that you can pinpoint why you do so well?
Well, I'm a fan of short ovals. So, Iowa is the shortest oval that we go to all year. It's 7/8 of a mile. And, the configuration of it, is it's pretty unique. It's kind of like a bowl more so than your traditional short oval tracks. It doesn't really stop you don't really stop turning around that place. You have a short little straightaway in the back stretch, but the front straightaway you're kind of always turning. So people liken it more to a bowl than other oval tracks. But it's fun. I find it a very fun race to run with trying to get in and out of traffic. You got a couple different lanes that you can use, and when you come around to lap traffic, trying to get through everyone as quickly as possible, it becomes very fun inside the car. So, just a cool track, man. It's a really fast paced track, very fast mid corner speeds for how short it is. It's 7/8 of a mile, but you're doing 180 through the corners, so it's kind of nuts in an Indy car.
How tough is it physically to run Iowa Speedway? I mean, people would think that Texas, I know, is very tough on the body, but what's Iowa like?
Yeah, actually, Iowa is probably twice as difficult as Texas. Texas is tough, but Iowa, you're such a shorter distance, and you're pulling so many G's constantly around that place that it's really the relentlessness of it. You don't really get any rest around Iowa. So I talk about that bowl shaping of it. At Texas, you at least get a longer straightaway to kind of recover from the corners, and at Iowa, when you're carrying that high of mid-corner speed and pulling that many G's, you don't have any rest from it. You never really come out of that loading phase. So it's very, very physical. You feel like you're just constantly turning. You never get a break. And that's what makes it tough with an IndyCar.
And, of course, you're in traffic all the time, even when you're out in front. It doesn't matter. Somewhere you're going to come into contact with a car out there.
Yeah, it doesn't let up. And that's kind of what I was speaking about. You know, my favorite part of the race is trying to work through that traffic. You know, generally the guy that has the best car in traffic is the guy that can win the race, because he's going to get through it as quickly as possible, and you're going to get hung up on it. You know, as soon as you don't have the car to get through people and you get hung up a little bit, then you start losing a lot of time generally behind slower cars. So that's what makes it challenging. It's what makes it fun. You know, and for me, it's the part I love the most.
Well, coming off a second place running at Road America, you were closing at the end, but Scott Dixon, maybe if you had a few more laps, you would have made it very interesting, but you got to be happy with the result up in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I think we were. You know, second place is a good result for us. You know, whenever we're on the podium, it's always good points, and we got to continue to have days like that for the rest of the year if we want to challenge for the championship. You know, the top guys in the series, they're doing that every week in and week out, so... it was a good day for us. You know, we were disappointed we weren't able to get the win, especially with us at Team Penske. You know, we were 1, 2, 3, 4 pretty much all weekend. So for one of us to not get the win with our team was I think disappointing, but you know, still a great result. We were 2, 3, 4, 5 instead of 1, 2, 3, 4. So you know, we had one guy that kind of snookered us, and we feel like we gotta go back to Iowa now and try and redeem ourselves. So it was a good weekend, but looking forward to going to Iowa now.
Well, how's the first year been with Team Penske? That's the ultimate as far as IndyCar racing is concerned, coming from Ed Carpenter Racing, where you had a lot of success. But what are the differences? What do you like? How has it been in this first year?
Yeah, like you said, it's a big deal. You know, it's like playing for the New York Yankees if, you know, you're a baseball player. And, you know, it's like joining a dynasty team that's been around for forever and has so many results and so much history. So it's different for me. You know, I come from a smaller group in Indianapolis, more of a mom-and-pop type shop at Carpenter Racing. Great family-run team, you know, really, really good at what they do, great partners and great ownership. But just a smaller organization, you know, Team Penske, they do a lot. And they have a lot of cars and they have a lot of employees. So, you know, I come from a team that had 40 employees and Team Penske has about 440. So the huge shift in, you know, in sort of the magnitude of the group that you're with. But it's been a good year. We've been, you know, we started sort of hit the ground running. We haven't had too much time to gel with each other. I feel like we took care of that pretty quickly, and we've already had a win and a lot of podiums. So, you know, just getting through all the nuances of, you know, what's the difference between a small and a big team. And, you know, once we started figuring those things out, I felt like we started finding some success.
Well, what is it like working for the captain? You know, we see him on the track from a distance anyway. What's he like working with every day?
You know, Roger's a great guy. He's really great to work with, actually. You know, he doesn't put a lot of pressure on you like you would think. You know, kind of if you're there, you're normally there for a reason. So, you know, I think they give you a lot of comfort and, you know, why they hired you and why you're with the organization. And, you know, they try to just give you all the tools that you need. You know, I've never been with a group that, you know, for them, making a profit is not why they go racing. You know, most race teams, they want to at least make a profit, which, you know, is understandable. You want to be able to make money at what you do. But with Roger, you know, racing is not anything about that. It's only about winning. I mean, that's the only thing that these guys care about. So when it comes to Roger and racing, you know, they give you everything that you could ever want or need. As long as there's a reason behind what you want, and you can justify it, then they'll make it happen, you know, anything that you could absolutely desire. So it's interesting being a part of that and just, you know, seeing all the other things that they do within business and sport. They have so many overlapping things with, you know, their trucking company and how they leverage their partnerships and parlay them into the racing program. It's just, there's a lot of moving pieces, but it's a lot of fun to be a part of.
Well, we're getting into the second half of the IndyCar season. You're still in position to vie for the points championship. And I imagine you got all the goals set out of what you have to do for the rest of the year to reach the top as far as the 2017 season is concerned.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we got to be, you know, like I was saying, we have to be consistent from here on out. We've been pretty consistent for this year, but there's been, you know, 2-3 races that, you know, really should have gone better for us, and we just weren't able to, you know, capitalize on big points for one reason or another. So we've got to make sure we eliminate all those type of days for the rest of the year. And as long as we're, you know, finishing top five, top three every race, then, you know, we should have a great shot at winning the championship. So it's going to be hard, but, you know, we focus on it one race at a time, and then we see where we are at the end of the day.
Kind of enjoying this little tiny break anyway. You guys are going pretty much every weekend there through the month of May and into the first part of June anyway. And you got to be enjoying a chance to just kind of sit back and take a breath or two.
Yeah, it's good when you get a little bit of a break. You know, just a weekend off is always nice for everybody. And not really just the drivers, it's more the mechanics. You know, the mechanics are, they're so flat out all year long. We don't really have a travel team on the IndyCar side. There's, you know, the guys that work on the car and do all the pit stops, they're working on it all year round. There's no one that switches off with them for test days or, you know, race week or shop week. Like they're 24/7, these guys. So, it's good for them to have a break, and certainly I don't mind having a weekend off to recharge the batteries and then get ready to go again.
Yep, and coming to Iowa anyway, next weekend should be a lot of fun. It's a great place to go because of all the reasons you mentioned, plus it's just kind of a hotbed for racing. Knoxville is right down the road a little bit, and the state of Iowa, we love our racing around here.
That's right. I'm telling you, when we go there, we get tons of support at the Iowa Speedway, and you know, it's normally a lot of great people that, you know, are working hard within the area that love watching racing, and they support us so well. So I love it. I'm a big fan of Iowa and excited to go there next weekend.
Yep, should be a lot of fun for the Iowa Corn 300. And, Joseph, keep up the great work with Team Penske. Thank you very much for the time, and best of luck at Newton coming up next weekend.
All right, sounds great. Thank you very much. See
ya. All right, we'll take a break. Come back with more after this here on the Gym Class on KGYM.
Summer involves a lot of driving to camp, to work, to soccer, back home to grab what they forgot, and then back to soccer again. So wouldn't you like to know your car is up for it? Enter Hum by Verizon. Now you can check your car's health from your phone with vehicle diagnostics, drive with more peace of mind thanks to 24/7 emergency assistance, and let the kids stream and game on the go with your car's own Wi-Fi hotspot. Get Hum and get where you're going. Learn more at Hum.com. Verizon Wi-Fi available on Hum X only. Data usage applies. Coverage not available everywhere. Visit VZW.com for availability.
When you're hiring for a growing business, you don't need lots of candidates. You need the right candidates. You need Indeed.com. With an algorithm that positions your job post where quality candidates are and screener questions that help you zero in on the best talent. Indeed.com, the site proven through an independent study to deliver 5 times more hires than any other. New users claim your $50 credit for a sponsored job at Indeed.com/credit. Indeed, the world's number one job site. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
Right now, buy either Ortho Home Defense or Roundup with Comfort Wand at the Home Depot and get a free refill. Good news for you. Final notice for bugs or weeds. Protect your home inside and out from insects or kill weeds right where they stand, right down to the root. Either way, you'll come out ahead and bugs and weeds will be out of luck. Get a free refill with Ortho Home Defense or Roundup with Comfort Wand only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through July 5th in select stores. Limit 2 discounts per customer.
The technicians at Firestone Complete Auto Care know when a tuned-up motor meets a new set of tires, the road better buckle up. Right now at Firestone Complete Auto Care, get $60 by mail on a Visa prepaid card when you buy a set of 4 eligible Firestone tires. Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone.
Offer valid May 4th through July 9th. Prepaid card is issued by the Bancorp Bank pursuant to a license from Visa USA Inc. and may be used everywhere Visa debit cards are accepted. The Bancorp Bank member FDIC expiration applies.
Covering everything from the preps to the pros, with a little bit of old-school mentality thrown in for good measure. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on the Gym Class. KGYM.
Back with you at 3:33 on the Friday edition of the Gym Class at KGYM. Thank you very much for joining us here today. And big thanks to Team Penske driver Joseph Newgarden. He is the defending champion of the Iowa Corn 300 at Newton. The Iowa Speedway will have it for you on July the 9th right here on KGYM. Kind of an unusual start time again for that show. I believe it's a 4:30 start to the race on a Sunday, and people weren't real enamored by that time last year. So
TV,
yeah, it's all dictated by television. So It is what it is. Yeah. But get out there and enjoy. It should be a lot of fun. We're going to get to our topic right now. We'll love to hear from you on the phones and on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. By the way, doozy of text. We're talking about the body issue and the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issues. 319-366-1600. That is the phone line, the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line as well. Our topic today, and the reason we're tackling this twofold. Number one, state of Wisconsin, a few weeks ago, came out with the proclamation that they are going to have a shot clock in high school boys and girls varsity basketball, only varsity basketball, starting in 2019-2020, and they were the eighth state to bring this aboard, first one in the Midwest, though, and they are going to have a 35-second shot clock. Have to get the shot off in 35 seconds. That's the name of the game, much like college basketball, much like the NBA. And I want to hear from you out there, because this really, in the second point to this, about this time last Friday, a couple of the media people on Twitter, Jeff Johnson, one of them, kind of kicked this around when it was talked about in the state of Wisconsin. Should we have that in the state of Iowa? People pretty passionate on both sides of the coin, that there should be a shot clock, and those that say there should not be a shot clock. So what do you think out there at 319-366-1600? And give a reason why. Just don't say no.
Well, here's what happened in Wisconsin. The state association polled coaches, and 81% of them approved the use of a shot clock. And the Board of Control in Wisconsin voted 6-4 in favor, originally going to implement it in 2018-19, but put it back a year to allow schools to purchase the shot clocks, which, by the way, are between $2,000 and $2,400.
Correct.
And
for both, a pair?
For the...
For everything you
whatever
need.
Whatever you need.
Okay.
And plus the training of the shot clock operator and so on and so forth. So here are the other states. Wisconsin, actually, the ninth to institute it. The other states with a shot clock in high school basketball right now: Massachusetts, Maryland, Rhode Island, Washington, New York, California, and the Dakotas, mm-hmm. North and South Dakota. So I guess a couple other Midwestern states, but Wisconsin's very close to us.
Yeah, and we know a lot about the state of Wisconsin, and especially in our part of the woods. Jeff Downing, our associate producer here, is a basketball official. Registered basketball official. Welcome, Jeff. And why don't get your thoughts about it, because you, this would just be for varsity competition. You've ref varsity games before.
I have.
And as far as a referee is concerned, it gives you something else to think about, something else to worry about during the game. Is this, in your opinion, is this good or is this not a good move?
Well, I'm taking notes on this subject just now because, let's see, you've given me about 45 seconds to think about this, or a 35-second clock to think about it. Shot clock. If you're going to do this, it needs to be varsity only, for one thing.
True. Which it is.
Reason being is because, first of all, you got to get enough staff at the official score table in order to have somebody run the shot clock. Bringing in the shot clock at even freshman and even JV level, again, that's one more person that's either a volunteer, which many of them are behind the scores table, and you're pulling in somebody else to run that shot clock, which probably also, if it's going to be under varsity, chances are, not every time, but many times, some folks behind the scores table is not back there very often. So therefore, that's something that's going to be new to them that they're going to have to try to do. So if you're going to do this, then, yeah, varsity only is something that I would be in favor of if this is going to go that direction. 35 seconds, I don't know. Do we need it to be that short? I think very seldom have I seen games that are stalled needing a shot clock. I've been involved with play-by-play on one of them that went about almost 4 minutes between a couple of girls' games last season.
I got you all beat.
Yeah. And I know of one from my area, hometown area, where they did run the whole quarter, and after the first quarter is 2-0, and that was in the first quarter. That's kind of tough to call play-by-play when it's when the point guard is standing with the ball and the defense says, and the coach says, just let him stand there.
Well, here's one thing. Excuse me, Jeff. Here's one thing in material that I've read that it precipitated Wisconsin's move last year. There was a postseason game involving Antigo and Rhinelander. Mm-hmm. It finished 14-11, and Antigo held the ball the last 7 minutes and took the game-winning shot. Mm-hmm. And everybody was up in arms there.
Yeah. My thinking is, are you making a 35-second shot clock to keep the game moving fairly quickly like the college, or is a 35-second shot clock more to avoid a stall that goes 2, 3, 4 minutes? I don't know if really a 35-second shot clock is necessarily that short. I would even be more of a favor of a 45-second shot clock.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't even oppose a minute, because even though that is slow, you're still forcing the offense to put up a shot, and very, very seldom have I ever seen officiating going on 18 years, a shot not taken over a minute to go. If it does take over a minute, they're moving the ball trying to find a good shot, and the defense is playing very well as well. You know, possibly the team is short and they can't feed it inside, so therefore it's a good defense. So 35 seconds, I can understand that because it's college. But I'm not really sure if it needs to be that short. I'm looking for a shot clock in high school to be more of just to make sure the teams don't stall out a half, even almost three quarters of a quarter. And yeah, your game ends up being 14-11. That's what I'd be more concerned about. And that would even take more. If you had a 45-second shot clock, that would even take less pressure. I guess you call it pressure. Less responsibility on the shot clock operator and also the referees to even think about. I mean, you know, if you go 30 seconds moving the ball, 35 seconds,
probably
going to
make
they're going to have a shot sometime or a mistake. Yeah. So, you know, I would be more in favor of 45 seconds is just to avoid the stall rather than trying to get the game to flow a little bit more.
I think interestingly, when Maryland went to the shot clock a couple of years ago, Max Preps did a survey of every state in the union, whether they had a shot clock or not in high school basketball, to try to determine whether it was increased offensive production. Mm-hmm. And in fact, it didn't.
No.
There's still the states with, I think Iowa averaged 109 points a game between the two teams, something like that. In fact, it didn't increase scoring across the board.
Yeah, and here's what you made a good point. Postseason is where this usually rears its ugly head, or big games. Seems like the bigger the game, usually the lower the score, because, you know, kids tense up. Everybody tenses up. You want to make the perfect play. You want to make the perfect shot, perfect pass, whatever the case may be. And, you know, especially on the girls' side of things, we've seen 27, 25, 5A championship games, 4A championship games in the past. In my opinion, I'd love to hear from you, 319-366-1600, if there should be a shot clock in high school basketball, girls and boys. I think it's coming. I think it's inevitable. I think it's probably going to be 35 or 40 seconds, because they would say, well, if you want a 45, then why institute it anyway? It's almost
One thing I wouldn't even be opposed of is have like a 45-second shot clock until like the last 2 minutes of the game, and then that way that shot clock is taken completely off the board.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've got a 3-point game and there's 2 minutes to go, let's see if the team can hold the ball for 2 minutes or not. Yeah, a lot of people don't like stalling, but stalling for 2 minutes is very difficult for, I don't care who you are.
Here's a comment on the text line 0723. The shot clock needs to happen. Prevent stalling, which is simply unacceptable to have an option to use this strategy. Creates a faster product, and most importantly, prepares possible college-bound athletes for their future.
Again, I don't think it causes to go faster. I really don't. If you go 35 seconds, maybe.
I think
a lot of shots in high school go up quicker than 35 seconds.
It's getting more and more. You're also going to look at this, and I'm sure this played a part in Wisconsin. I'm sure it's going to play a part in the state of Iowa if it comes up, and that is you're seeing, let's face it, you're seeing less people in the stands. And to get more people interested, shot clock's going to help. More chance at more points. It sounds better. doesn't it?
I think maybe more chances at bad shots.
Well, that could be. If you're a gunner out there, you're going to love it. But, you know, a chance to get more people interested, perhaps, in getting out there and viewing some of these games. What do you think out there? 319-366-1600 on the Jerry Ask Investment Service text line on this Friday about the shot clock.
4702, yes. I've been wondering this for years. And how many states have it? Well, Wisconsin is going to be the ninth.
Ninth, yes. The ninth one to bring it aboard.
Well, first of all, I want to get your experience with Jeff said he called or officiated some games where there's like 4 minutes of stalling or whatever. And you had an experience or two.
Waterloo East at Linmar. Back in the old Linmar gym, Steve McGraw held it for 7.5 minutes at the start of the fourth quarter.
Was he ahead or behind?
They were behind.
Couldn't have been by much.
No, it was a 1 point, 2 point game, something like that.
Go for the last shot.
Yep, I'm going to go for the last shot. And Linmar did come out there with about 30 seconds to go and pressured him. So. But boy, oh boy, you talk about trying to find something. We talked about lunch. We talked about everything during 7.5 minutes of watching them hold the ball at midcourt. And that's, you know, there are people howling for it at that point.
Before the colleges went to the shot clock, and one of the first college basketball games I covered was at the old Iowa Fieldhouse. And Judd Heathcote brought a Michigan State team in. This is what, late 70s, early 80s, something like that. And Judd held the ball, and the halftime score was something like 4-2 or 6-2.
Right.
I don't remember the final. But
well, Minnesota did that as well at the Fieldhouse, held the ball. Before the days of the college shot clock, that was the vogue thing to do. 319-366-1600. We got some calls coming in as well. Coaches out there, I know we got a lot of coaches listening, basketball coaches. Would you like to see it? It's going to change strategy, that's for sure. You're going to go 2-for-1 situations at the end, which I think is another reason why it's going to be coming. But you got to have somebody who's very knowledgeable on the bench to run that clock.
Before we get to the phones, a couple three texts, 8928. You guys are really showing your age. Yes, must have a shot clock.
Oh, I said we should have a shot clock.
2133, that's Andy. I completely agree with everything our referee friend has said to this point. I apologize, sir. I did not catch your name, but you're absolutely correct. That's our associate producer, Jeff Downing, a veteran official.
Indeed, of 18 years out there.
8928 makes for a better product on court and preparing for college ball.
Everyone pretty much for the shot clock right now. Let's bring in Scott from Marion joining us here on the Friday edition of the show. Hi, Scott. How are you doing?
Good, thanks. Scott, you kind of stole my thunder a little bit on the 2-for-1. I kind of like having the shot clock for strategy purposes at the end. You know, if a team's up one and they have the ball with 50 seconds to go, the opposing team pretty much has to foul at some point during there. But if you've got a 35-second clock there, you kind of have that option to maybe foul, maybe make them make a shot, and then you got 15 seconds to go when you get the ball back. So I kind of like it for strategy purposes in addition to, you know, speeding up the game a little bit.
I would agree. I would agree on that. Hey, appreciate the thoughts, Scott. Thanks.
Jeff, correct me if I'm wrong. It's going to take some more education of officials because you're going to have to know, maybe you already do know, when to reset the clock or when to tell the bench official to reset that clock and other situations.
Well,
I guess
we'll probably have a signal. If you work in a three-man crew, which is pretty much a gimme anymore for varsity, who's got the clock? It's usually going to be, Trail. Which is the last guy coming down. He's the one that's going to be standing in front of the coach or, you know, directly across from the coach, closest to the half court. He's the one that's going to be watching probably the shot clock. That's his call. The other two, they'll help him out if he, you know, for whatever reason doesn't get it. But otherwise, that's his call.
There are going
to
be situations. There are no replay in high school basketball.
No, you're going to have – it's going to be a tough call for the referees if that ball grazes the rim.
That's true.
On a shot.
Well, after that, it's probably probably the guy down low. Did it graze it or not? And then, again, you're coming down to, let's say there's 4 seconds to go in the game, and there's a shot up, and did it graze it? Is that a 35-second, 45-second shot clock violation? Does the other team get the ball back with 4 seconds? Now we've got to stop the game because of a shot clock and decide who gets the ball back.
Here's something else that happened in Wisconsin, guys. In 2015, Wisconsin high school basketball dropped 8-minute quarters and went to 18-minute halves.
I'm all for that.
I think I am too, even more so than the shot clock. I find it interesting that the women's college game has gone the opposite from halves to quarters. And we saw it in the men's NIT. And maybe that's the direction the college is going. So in this case, I think it's doing exactly opposite of the trend in college, but I kind of like it. I like halves.
I do too, and here's the reason, because you get, there are 8-minute quarters in a basketball game, in a high school basketball game, and Jeff, you probably can attest to this as well. You get, a team brings the ball up with 50 seconds left, they usually tend to go for the last shot.
They do. Mm-hmm.
So which, in essence, makes it a 7-minute quarter, mm-hmm. basically.
Right.
So you're losing 2 minutes of your 16, so go to 18, you don't have that situation, except for once, if you don't have a shot clock.
I don't think the networks will like the halves, because that's one less break during commercials.
Right.
So they want to have a chance to take a break and get in some sponsors in between quarters. As far as, especially for the women's game, now they can take another break without taking a timeout. Did they lose a timeout, do you know?
I know the foul situation changed.
And that might be the reason for the women's game going to the quarters.
Yeah.
Different foul situation, because you go from a 7-foul bonus to a 5-foul bonus.
And in the NIT, there were no 1-and-1s.
Correct.
Just all two-shot fouls.
Wow. Because I know girls, women's basketball, college basketball, has a couple different rules than men's college basketball, including the shot clock. Shot clock is 30 seconds in women's college basketball, and there's no backcourt violation as far as getting it across the line for 10 seconds.
That's got to change.
It's one less thing for the referees to worry about. We don't have to count to 10.
Yeah. 3:50, we're going to take a break. More of your input on our topic for this Friday. Should there be a shot clock in high school boys and girls basketball in the state of Iowa? Love to hear from you at 319-366-1600. Back with more after this.
Summer can really shine a light on your damaged pavement. Fixing it can be more affordable than you think. Stop dodging those cracks and potholes and call Pate Asphalt. They can handle commercial parking lots, roadways, and your very own driveway. Serving the area for over 30 years, Pate Asphalt has decades of experience. Make your parking lot, roadway, and driveway look great. Pave it to last with Pate Asphalt. See them at pateasphalt.com.
Come play the Wednesday game at St. Andrews Golf Club and pay no green fees. Shotgun tee-off is at 1. The cost is just $30. Individual and team play will be chosen randomly. And since there are no green fees, all the cash goes to prizes, meaning you get 100% of your money back. No green fees. No more excuses. Come play the Wednesday game at St. Andrews Golf Club. Sign up in the clubhouse before 12:30 or call that morning, 393-9915. At the gym, we know good sportsmanship matters during a game and in life.
And we want to recognize good sports like you with KGYM's Community MVP.
So if your nonprofit group is holding an event to help folks around here, let us know.
Just go to kgymradio.com, click on Community MVP, and give us all the details.
Because you deserve most valuable player status for doing something great. And we want to help get the word out.
KGYM's Community MVP, brought to you by Fairfax State Savings Bank.
At KGYM Radio on Twitter, Dukes and Unash, the gym class on KGYM.
Back with you on the Friday edition of the gym class, KGYM, about 5 more minutes here.
Finally, we get the voice of reason.
Well, we'll get to that in a moment.
Okay. All
but right. Right now, I'm going to give somebody out there an opportunity to go to the John Deere Classic. 4 passes and a parking pass to the John Deere Classic. We talked to Claire Peterson from the John Deere Classic on Caddy Smack yesterday. Great to talk with him. They're going to have a great field there, one of the best they've ever had out there. Caller number 6 right now, you're going to get to go. 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. As we do that, we're going to, he is the voice of reason. Yeah. He's also my right-hand man as far as girls basketball broadcast. Mm-hmm. Steve Dozer, the former Prairie and Marion coach, joining us here. Do you want to see a shot clock, Steve? Whoop. How about if I do this? Well, hold on. There we go. Steve, are you there?
You bet.
Do you want to see a shot clock?
Yeah, you know, I think it would be great. I remember the year Muscatine girls won. We lost to Davenport West, who came out in a four-corner stall. Coach Saladino all four quarters.
Oh, God.
So I was wishing for a shot clock about 2 minutes into the game.
What do you think it would do for coaching strategy? I mean, it would change it quite a bit.
Well, there's twofold. It would change it. It would make coaches kind of have to think on especially possessions coming down to the end. My concern would just be budget. You know, if coaches, you know, if an athletic budget can take that financial responsibility on.
And you'd have, because you'd have to have obviously $2,500 to purchase shot clocks, scoreboard equipment, etc. And then you may have to pay somebody to be there with a very good thumb.
Well, yeah. I mean, somebody has to really understand the game. I do a little bit at Kirkwood shot clock, and it is. It's nerve-wracking, and you have to be on it. And, you know, you'd have to have the right staff, and that, of course, would be, you know, another financial commitment.
Interesting.
But for the game, yes, I think it would be great for boys and girls. I think it would add different strategies, and I think it would add different excitement to the game.
Well, it'd ensure you and UNAS don't have to fill for 7 minutes either, Steve.
No, we would not.
Which we love.
That's right.
All right, Steve, thanks, buddy.
You bet. Take care.
All right. Steve Dozer joining us here, and former Prairie coach out there.
Are you aware of any discussion in the Iowa high school ranks or girls' union?
No.
In this regard?
No.
Okay.
No, not right now anyway, but who knows? Right next door, obviously the Dakotas. Now Wisconsin has it. Maybe chance to take a look, talk with those administrators, those officials up there, see the pros, see the cons, whatever the case may be. Like I said, I think it's coming. I think it's on its way. Sometime in the next 10 years, I think we'll see a shot clock. And I also think we're going to see at least the boys go to not have the week-long state tournament. I think we'll see a Final Four for each class instead of eight.
You like the halves, too, instead of the quarters.
And I love the halves. Give me the halves at any time. Any last-minute texts there?
No, only there are a couple. 4206 in Australia, they played with a shot clock since 1993.
Aha. Uh-huh.
75-75, just to clarify, as I am new to the area, the state of Iowa does not have a shot clock in boys or girls high school basketball?
Correct.
Correct.
Yes, no shot clock in the state of Iowa right now. And no discussions as far as the shot clock is concerned as well. So at this time anyway, don't see it.
Here's a, I think, a good comment as well. 41-84, yes, Iowa needs a shot clock. While you're at it, allow Iowa teams to play in holiday tournaments.
Oh, yes.
Yes, the oil crisis is over.
That came in, what, the 1973, wasn't it?
Long time ago.
Early 70s, and we have not played. I tell you what, that's one that I don't know is ever going to be changed as far as everyone. You could see a few specialized. They've tried to get a few things together, some of the arenas around the state of Iowa. Get a holiday tournament going, but there's a lot. You got to find people to work those tournaments over the holiday break, mm-hmm. And that's a little bit harder than it may seem. So I'd love to see it. I'd love to see some out of state teams come in to the U.S. Cellular Center and play an Iowa City West,
you could have
or a Lemoore or a Kennedy.
An 8-team tournament with contiguous states.
Absolutely. A Midwest Classic.
Give us a team from Illinois, Iowa, South Dakota, Nebraska, Missouri. What else? Minnesota? Yeah.
And we'll have to have a shot clock for the
games. Jeff Downing will work every game if he needs to.
Sure. Sure.
All right. Thanks, Jeff. Thanks to everybody for the discussion. It was good out there, and we do have fun with those on Fridays. All right. Who is our winner? Chris from North Liberty is our winner. So congratulations to Chris. He's going to go to the John Deere Classic. Mark, have a great weekend. We will see you on Monday, July the 3rd.
Yep, we'll be here Monday, off Tuesday, and back on Wednesday.
There you go. Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming your way next right here on KGYM. Have a great, great weekend. Be safe out there. We'll talk to you again on Monday.
Just announced, during the Ford Summer Sales Event, get 0% financing for 72 months, plus an additional $1,000 on top of your trade-in. It's summer's hottest deal on vehicles like Ford.